Okay, but go ahead, turning to Matthew chapter 19, and while you're doing that, Brother Robert wants me to announce that they have the BBS schedules. If you're a teacher, a worker, or in the kitchen, they have those schedules. You can see her after the service. She'll be glad to give you one of those schedules, and we'll post them around too also. But I want us to thank Brother Robert. When the computer came in, the guys came out the other day and put the computer in the hearing aid assistance thing. Brother Robert and Melissa really worked on that computer and getting it updated and getting it ready to go. In fact, got a lot of things on there ready to go once we get a screen and a projector. And so we appreciate that. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13, 14, and 15. Jesus loves the little children. You know, when we sang that song again, Jesus Loves Me, it's been a long time since I sang that song. And we just don't sing it much in church, do we? We think it's too simple. But I'm telling you, these songs like Jesus Loves Me, Jesus Loves the Little Children, these are true biblical songs. And you know, we often think, well, that's just for the kids, but they have great spiritual depth and meaning to them, as we're going to look at in a few moments here. So let's stand in honor of God's Word, and we're going to begin reading in chapter 19, beginning in verse 13. Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked him. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. You may want to underline that. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Father, I pray today, and as we go further in the next two messages about this subject that, Lord, you laid on my heart. Lord, I know that if I was to ask today how many have lost an infant or a baby or a toddler when they were that age, that hands would go up. And Lord, I've never lost a child, but you have. And Lord, that is always a comfort to us, knowing that you gave your only begotten Son that we might have life. But Father, I pray you use this series of messages, three of them, to comfort and to encourage people who have lost loved ones, their babies, and also to give us a scriptural background to encourage other people. And even, Father, if they want to take the copies of these messages and give them to somebody that's just lost a baby, that's fine too. So we pray you teach us from your word today, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You may be seated. This morning I want you to see three facts about the relationship of Jesus and children. It's a very simple outline. It's so simple you're going to wonder why I came up with it. Three facts about Jesus' relationship with children. Number one, we should be bringing our children to Jesus. Amen. We should be bringing our children to Jesus. Or we could say it another way. Jesus loves children, and children love Jesus. Have you ever noticed a little child in BBS or Sunday school or whatever we're doing in the church here or at home when you're doing, and you got your papers out and you're coloring books and you're talking about God and you're talking about Jesus, how their little face just lights up, right? They're much more receptive to the gospel the younger they are. As they grow up, they get corrupted by the world and they get all the things of the world infiltrated in their mind. And the time to reach people for Christ is when they're young, right? And once in a while you hear about an older person coming to Christ, but mostly it's children. So children love to color about Jesus. They love to read stories about Jesus, right? If you teach Vacation Bible School and Sunday School and Children's Church, you work with children somewhere in this church, just stand up just a second. We must not have no children. Just stand up. If you work with children, BBS, Sunday school, children's church teacher, stand up. Let's give these people a round of applause. All right. Oh, that was weak. I'm telling you. That was weak. Jesus loves children, and children love Jesus. Look in verse 13. Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked him. So out of nowhere, talking about marriage and divorce and things like that, people began to bring in their children to Jesus, that he might pray for them and bless them. The parents were bringing their children to Jesus because they wanted Jesus to touch them and bless them. As it was the custom in that day, Jews were taught that the Jewish parents were to bring their children to the rabbis, that they may lay hands on them and pray for them and bless them, and the elders as well. So this is nothing unusual. And they brought the children to Jesus to bless them and to pray for them. Notice it wasn't for infant baptism. They came to Jesus for a blessing and for words of blessing and to touch them and pray for them. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." That word "bring them up" means bring them to maturity and the training in the Word of God and teaching them the truths of Scripture here. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. They don't raise themselves. I am appalled when we had gone somewhere. I forgot where it was. We were somewhere down there on the coast, and this little kid just running around. I didn't see no adult with him nowhere, you know. And finally I saw an adult. I says, "Does that child belong to you?" And she says, "Yes." And so she finally got it. And then we were on the beach. We were mixed bathing. We were sinning. And we were on the beach, and I didn't go into the water. And I noticed this little boy. He wasn't about Connor's, a little younger than Connor there. And he was just running out on the beach, and they had the flags up for rip current warning, right? Yeah, and they gave no thought of him, didn't even look at him, you know. And he was, well, you know how they do, they begin to wander farther and farther away. And he got way past down the beach there where he would not be in saving distance if something happened. And so I went over there to him. I says, "Does that little boy belong to y'all?" And he says, "Yeah." And finally, they go after him. You know, kids can't raise themselves. Amen? That's what we got parents for, right? And to give them guidance. But bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And I'm telling you, you can give them the best of everything, and you can take them to the best of places. But I'm telling you, if you're not teaching them the things of God from the Bible, you've failed as a parent, right? He says, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The top priority of parents is not to send them to the best schools and give them the best dress and the best fads and the best toys. The priority of the parents is to bring them to Jesus. See? And that's what he says here. And Jesus shows kindness and tenderness and gentleness with children. I'm amazed at that as I look at these passages, parallel passages in the gospel. They showed humility. And Jesus often used them as a lesson to his own disciples, not about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom, but when they were arguing about that, he gave these little children as a lesson of humility and trust, simple trust in how we come to Christ, right? So he used children as an example, such as Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest of the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little children, you shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So in that text, Jesus uses a little child as an example of how we come to Christ, okay? But this text is a little different, and I'll show you as we get into it. Now the Greek word here for little children, and I believe it's in verse 13, refers to young children from infancy to toddlers. We're not talking about 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds. We're talking here about infants and toddlers, okay? Luke chapter 18, verse 15, the same word is used there. He says they were bringing their babies to Jesus. So we, as parents and grandparents, should do all we can to bring our children to Jesus. And it grieves my heart when these little children that don't know nothing about God and may never know and don't have parents and grandparents that will teach them, and they don't even darken the doors of the church. Doesn't that grieve your heart? Are y'all with me today? Amen. If y'all still, Frank's with me, amen. It grips my heart as I go around, and when I was working with Astro Pest Control and going to homes, and I would mention that Jesus to them or God, and little boys had never, kids have never heard about it. And it grieved my heart. And I'm telling you, there's a judgment coming for people who won't bring their children to church. And there's a judgment for people that will not come with their children when they bring them to church. Both ways. So we ought to bring our children to Jesus. But then secondly, second point here in the relationship of Jesus and children is we should not hinder children from coming to Jesus. Look in verse 13b, if you will. And the disciples rebuked him. But he said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me. The disciples here, for whatever their motive was, they thought Jesus was too important maybe, or they were too busy to worry about little children. And they resented the fact. Other gospel writer tells us here that Jesus was really, really upset with them over trying to hinder these little children coming to Jesus. They saw these little children more as an intrusion, more as an inconvenience. Amen? Been there, done that, right? More than an opportunity, they saw them as an intrusion into the Lord's life. And I want to tell you, those who love the Lord will love children. Are you with me? And not necessarily those who love children will love the Lord, but those who love God will love children because he loved them. And no church or no movement, no man, no ministry will ever prosper spiritually that disregards and neglects and abuses children, okay? That's why we here at Trinity place a premium on priority of children's ministries. I think Sunday school is very important for children. Children's church is very important. And it's my personal philosophy that they go out there and they learn on a level better than sleeping in the pew, okay? But there'll come a day they'll be in here with us. But right now, I believe the best place for them is children's church because we want to bring them to Jesus. Vacation Bible School. This is what makes Vacation Bible School important and why we get involved, folks. We have a chance to put truth in the life of a little head, a little brain, and impart truth and Jesus into their life. Because some of the ones that come here this coming 2 weeks may not have never heard of the gospel and things like that. So I'm telling you, folks, any church, and I know of churches today that don't want to have anything for children and get mad if you spend money on children, but God's never going to bless that church, right, if they don't love children. This is why I believe the hottest part of hell is for those who abuse and neglect and kill children. I tell you what, it's sickening to watch the news and see the abuse that's going on, isn't it? I can't sit there and watch it. When I hear about a stepdad that beat his little stepchild to death because of mess in their pants, you know? I'm telling you. And I think it's crazy in the world we're living in when you got to send parents to school to learn how to take care of children. Give me an amen there. That should be automatic from the Savior, right? You don't train people how to not to beat a child, right? I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? One of my favorite prosperity gospel preachers, when I saw it, Creflo Dollar, how many of you ever heard of him, right? In Atlanta. 30,000 people in his church. In fact, just to go outside of his church and speak in another church somewhere, he begs $100,000 for a speaking engagement. They arrested him the other day. I don't know if the charges are true, but it'll come out. Little 15-year-old teenager of his. They were arguing over whether or not she should go to a party, and he was choking her and slapping her and hitting her with his shoe. And they arrested him. And the other sibling verified what happened. I'm telling you what, I hope that guy fries, not only because he's a prosperity gospel preacher, but I hope they get him if he's guilty. Amen? I'm telling you, this stuff is not to be in the kingdom of God or anywhere else. Notice verse 14, if you will. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me. Jesus understood that children were born with a sin nature. Now, don't overlook that. Jesus knows that children have a sin nature. Everybody that is born after first Adam has a sin nature and is dead and separated from God. And Jesus knows that more than we do. Okay, he knew that. But he says, do not hinder them in coming from me. And this is why I'm so grateful for the parents that we have in our church. You understand this. You're not so excitable and too anxious to have your children baptized. You're waiting on the Lord to do his work in their heart. And it's been that way for every case in this church. We have waited for God to do his work in that heart rather than manipulate 30 children on Vacation Bible School and we baptize 30 the next night. I'm telling you, we're waiting for God to do his work in that heart. He says, suffer these little children and forbid them not. Means let them alone. Do not hinder them. He's talking to the disciples. Don't hinder them from coming to me. In fact, Mark's account of this means Jesus was much displeased over the disciples' behavior. And I asked myself, why was Jesus really upset at his disciples and hindering these children from coming to Jesus? Number one, because Jesus loves children and has compassion on them, even though, you know, they're sinners. I believe the Lord, like us, hates it that little children have to live in this old sinful world. You know what I'm saying? We've got children and we've got grandchildren, and I fret for them, and I ought not do that because they're in God's sovereign hand. But they are in a very sinful world, and no telling what they're going to have to face down the road. When I was in school, the worst thing you could do in school was smoke in the bathroom. And today, guess what happens, right? Anything goes. I'm telling you, I believe that Jesus has a heart for children in this old sinful world. And I believe he got upset, secondly, because he understood the longings and anxieties of parents. You know, we fret over our children. We're anxious and we worry about them in all kind of aspects of their life, don't we? And our children are grown and gone, but when they go off somewhere, I'll call them. Amen? I don't mind calling them. They'll say, they may get aggravated at it, but I'm going to call them. And how you doing? And if I go anywhere and I'm going to be gone for a day, I'll say, you know, John, I'm going to so-and-so in Valdosta. I'll be there all day in a pastor's fellowship. You know, I want him to know where I'm at, but I also don't want him to call me while I'm in the service, right? And Jesus knows it. He knows your heart. He knows your longings and your anxieties you have for your children. And let me say this to those here that are not yet been married and haven't grown up yet. When you become a mother, you will understand what your mother went through, right? Right? Now, I ain't looking at nobody in particular, okay? but I'm telling you, Amy came to Faye one day when she got married and had children. She said, I understand now what you was trying to do, right, basically. Thank you for being a good mother. And you the same thing, right? I mean, and you can say, well, I'm not going to be that way. But I'm telling you, when you grow up and get married and get children, you're going to treat them the same way your mother treated you, right? And you will. So Jesus understood this. And I believe also he was angry at their persistent spiritual dullness and hardness of the disciples over and over and over. Man, you guys ain't getting it, you know? I've taught you all this, and you're just so spiritually dull and hard. I mean, it gets frustrated, right? That's what brings frustration about. That's what brings frustration in my life. I have an expectation here, but when it's not met, I get frustrated, right? And you do too as well. And then he was angry because they were screening who would come to him. Boy, howdy. They were going to decide who can come to Jesus and who couldn't, you know? And before we get too bent out of shape, don't we do the same thing today? And I don't tell you the ways we do it, but we screen people, right? And then fifthly, I believe he was angry because the kingdom of God, the Bible says here, belongs to such as these. Now, this is what I want to play off of right here, the rest of the message. And that brings us to the third point. God has a special provision for children. Look in verse 14 again, if you will, that apart. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Now, this is a little different from the other gospel readings. There he's using children as an example of how you come to Christ. But here he says, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now let me tell you what Jesus is not doing here. He's not separating the elect children from the non-elect children. Okay? He said, well, you're not elect. Or you are elect. Come over here. He's not doing that. He's not also preparing them for infant baptism. This is the verse that some people's denominations, reformers, Presbyterians in particular, and others use for infant baptism. You'll not see infant baptism anywhere in this text, right? He's not talking about that. He's not talking about a special covenant. He's not talking even about their faith, the children's faith, in repentance and faith in Christ. So what is he talking about? For those who have exercised or reached, those who have reached the age when a personal saving faith can be exercised. See, once these infants and babies grow up and they become and they reach that point, we'll talk about that in a minute, the only way into the kingdom is by repentance of sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Okay. For such as these, for of such. This is a category. This is not their understanding. This is a category. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. This implies a category of children here, infants and those that are mentally deficient, you might say. Those are very toddlers or infants age who are incapable of exercising faith. God grants them, in the event of their death, entrance into the kingdom of heaven by his sovereign grace. And I want you to hear me out for the next two messages after this, if you're not convinced by that. As one preacher said, they're safe but not saved. In fact, one preacher preached a series on safe in the arms of God. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 21. This is one of the texts often used to defend this. We'll look at it. There'll be more coming down the pipe in the next couple of weeks. But we want to look at 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 21. And you know the story of David. He had committed this adultery, and the child that was born by Bathsheba. Bathsheba. Died. And so we see David's response here in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 21. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while he was alive, but when the child was dead, you just rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious for me that the child might live? Now, you notice this difference from the prosperity gospel preachers today? Say you don't have enough faith, name it, claim it, right? But he says, he's talking about God granting gracious grace there and bringing the child back to life. And then in verse 23, but now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? In other words, it's time to get on with life. Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Now there are some that says, well, David here is talking about wanting to go to the grave with his baby. I don't see that. These are personal terms. I shall go with him. You know, these are personal terms. He's going to see him again, so he's not talking about the grave. He's talking about something else. David believes in the life to come. Amen. Psalm 16, verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou... Oh, that's the word there is Hades, the abode of the wicked dead, or the abode of the dead. Neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. See, this is not only talking about David, but David is giving a messianic psalm about Christ. He did not stay in the grave long enough to become corrupted in his flesh. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So David, when he says, he can't come to me, but I'm going to go where he's at, he wasn't talking about the grave. He was talking about seeing him in heaven. David says, I'm going to heaven. He's in heaven, and I'm going to see him again, see? MacArthur here says, This does not mean that little children are saved and lose it later when they do not come to Christ. Now think about that one just a moment. They're saved, and then when they get 8, 10, and they can make the responsible choice, and they don't, then they're lost. And you say, well, see, they lost it. No, they're safe in the arms of God. He goes on to say, his grace is applied to them if they die before they're able to accept or reject him on their own. So what is the age of accountability? We always often use that term. I don't think it's a chronological age as much as it is an understanding. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 16. The best definition, I found it this week, of the age of accountability. In Isaiah 7, 16, if you will. I know this is talking about Christ, but wasn't Christ a little child, right? Now look at Isaiah 7, 16. I'll give you some time to find it because I want you to see it for yourself. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good. That's the age of accountability. When a child can refuse evil and choose good. Are y'all with me? It's not chronological age, it's understanding. Now, again, we're talking about infants and toddlers. We're not talking about children 8, 10, 12 years old. We're talking about infants and toddlers. The Bible Believers Commentary says, these words of our Lord answer the question, what happens to children who die before they reach the age of accountability? Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. And that should be adequate assurance to parents who have suffered the loss of little ones. I'm telling you today, if you've had an aborted child, and if you've had a miscarriage, and if your child died as a toddler or an infant before they could make these decisions, your child went immediately into the presence of Jesus. Amen? Warren Wiersbe says, there is no thought here of baptism or even of salvation per se. Children who have not reached the age of accountability are surely covered by the death of Christ. Children are born sinners, but if they die before they are accountable, they are regenerated and taken to heaven. Now, this is John MacArthur and John Walvoord and Warren Wiersbe, people much smarter than I. But then notice verse 15. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. They came for a blessing, and they came for a prayer. Okay? Now, some believe that Jesus right here, when he laid his hands on them and he blessed them and prayed for them, pronounced this special provision and care on their behalf. Again, MacArthur quotes here, heaven is populated. Now, y'all listen to this now. Heaven is populated by two kinds of people. Those who die as children and those who trust as little children. Amen. Think about that, right? Babies in heaven and those who came like children. Amen. Just humbleness, meekness, trust, dependence. Not all this other complicated stuff, but just come to God as Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. So heaven is populated by two kinds of people, those who die as children and those who trust as little children. And John Calvin, a man much smarter than any of us put together, says the passage broadens to give kingdom citizenship to both children and those who come as children. So I close with this. Jesus loves the little children. Amen? Amen. Now next week we'll begin to talk about Father going into this with theological aspects and scriptural aspects. And I hope that you'll benefit from this message today. And I'm telling you, if you're here without Christ, you've never made a personal decision for Christ, I'm telling you, you're not going to go to heaven. You can't be good enough. You can't work your way there. You can't go there because your mama was a Baptist, your daddy was a Baptist. You can't go there because they were baptized. And you can't go because you're baptized. You must come to that point to realize that you're a sinner. And Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the Lord. He is God who died in your place on the cross. And you understand your sinfulness. And you come to Him in repentance, believing in Christ alone for salvation. Amen. Amen. As our musicians come, Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Father, for this delicate yet simple subject. Many people in our churches struggle over it and have heartaches about, what about my child? What about where is he at? Where is she at? And Lord, that we don't know everything, and there are some questions we're not going to be able to answer in this study. But we do know this, that you love children and you have a special provision for them. For such is the kingdom of heaven. Father, I pray you minister as only you can through the word today, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.